Before we get started, let's do some quick plugs. Please visit our website, www.thisishappening.podcast.com. We try to have content all the time. We have shows like the main program called This Is Happening Podcast, where we just talk about stuff and good times, entertainment, you know. Join in the conversations, good times. We also have Movie Marks, where we do movie reviews based on the world of professional wrestling. We have Across the Multiverse, where we talk about one subject and its various incarnations. The first episode, we did Double Dragon, so we talked about the video game, the cartoon, the movie, more video games, and anything we could have thought of. We also have The Road to Tokyo Dome, where I personally, Diego Santos, shall be going to Tokyo, Japan, for New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom 10. And so, you know, to prepare, I will be talking to many experts who have gone to Tokyo, who have lived in Tokyo, or Japan in general, and they'll be giving me advice, and hopefully you guys will learn something about, you know, traveling to the land of the rising sun. Every Friday, we try to have the Super Dance Party, where it's like a 30-minute to 1-hour mix of music related to the field of various geek culture references. First few episodes was based on Sonic the Hedgehog, then we did The Legend of Zelda. Currently in October, we are doing Horror Movie Month, so, you know, it's Halloween, so we gotta get in the season. So, you know, download the podcast and you could probably have yourself music for a Halloween party. Save some money and save some time and money. There you go. So, let's go on with the show. Alright, let's begin this special episode of the This Is Happening podcast, where we cover New York Comic Con. Our special guest will be BBQ Films. Let me quickly go over my Comic-Con experience real quick. Thursday at the Jack Squat. Friday, my boy won tickets to see the Walking Dead premiere. He invited me. I graciously said yes. So we did that. We got to Madison Square Garden around 6 o'clock. Waited online in the rain for about a half hour. We got in. It was, you know, it was pretty harmless, you know, for such a huge event. You know, the garden, they're very, very efficient. You know, went through security. You know, they checked our tickets. You know, in the lobby, they had a couple of cool props. They had a Daryl wax figure. They had walkers walking around, so, you know, you could take pictures with them. They had, like, a big sign, so you could take photos with the signs. They had the governor's heads on display, if you remember that episode, which I don't remember what season, but the governor had, like, heads in fish tanks. They had that there. That was pretty badass. And then, you know, show started. It was hosted by Yvette Nicole Brown from Community, because Chris Hardwick couldn't be there, I guess. We had the producer. She was a good hostess. The producers came. They did their thing. Then we watched the episode. Now that the episode's over, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I will say I really enjoyed it. I really thought it was great. Kind of felt like the movie Memento. And, yeah, this season, I think it kicked off really well. And now, you know, I can't wait for the next episode. My only complaint in seeing it Friday the 9th instead of during the season premiere, which was October 11th, was that instead of waiting 1 week to watch a new episode, I had to wait, you know, an extra 2 days to watch this new upcoming Walking Dead. When the screening was over, they were having a panel, but I had to rush out. And as I'm rushing out, you know, they're introducing all the cast and the character, all the crew. And then Daryl decides to come on stage. I forgot it. Norman Reedus comes on stage in a motorcycle, which, you know, obviously caused a huge pop from the crowd. But, you know, I had to leave. Jumped into a cab to Terminal 5, the old exit. And went right into the Blood Rave, which was, from top to bottom, off the freaking hook. It was great. I literally have no complaints. The only complaint I have is a personal one, is that I had to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. From work, I went straight to the Walking Dead screening. Walking Dead screening went straight to the Blood Rave. So I was a little tired, and I was kind of hungry. But other than that, you know, there's nothing. Obviously, BBQ Films is not responsible for feeding me or anything, but, you know. But on their end, it was freaking perfect. The music was great. The crowd was great. The decor, you know, I took pictures of, you know, they had, you know, the glyphs. They had, you know, a lot of people in cosplay. A lot of people in regular Comic-Con costumes. A lot of people dressed up like vampires. And then, you know, they had performers. They had like the show interacted with a projection screen, you know, so it was pretty cool. It felt very immersive. And yeah, then when it was time for the blood rave, and you know, we got drenched in blood, and I was freaking loving it. Though even though I was a little, like I said, I was a little cranky because of the whole not eating thing. But, you know, people were, like, making out and grinding on each other. And at this point in time, I'm kind of like, don't touch me, anybody. But, you know, maybe if I was well-fed, I could have, you know, been more sociable. So, come Saturday, I didn't do the con again. I'm more of an after-party guy. I did the Sonic Boom Party at Slate. I don't know what to say about this party. Like, Sonic Boom is the second time I've been there. And so first time I was bored out of my head. Second time I wasn't as bored, but I feel like this part, something personally, I don't want to bury anybody. You know, we don't like to do that on the show. But I feel like something's lacking. I'm going to give them one more try. And if I don't have fun there, I'm probably not going to go back. But I mean, I did bump into some friends, you know, they kind of helped. They helped out a bit. But like, if I didn't bump into them, I would have been, I don't know, staring into the ceiling until I felt like, you know, my money was well spent. From there, I went to the Sexy Nerds Party. They were at Frames, the bowling alley, right there at Port Authority. They had a dude dressed up like Michelangelo from Ninja Turtles. That was awesome. The dudes who sing the Ninja Turtle theme song from the movie, Partners in Crime, they were there. That was cool. I bumped into all of my old friends. You know, I didn't get a chance to play bowling because my neck hurt from buffoonery from earlier in the day, which I'll get into. Then from there, it was one of my close friends' birthdays at the Pyramid, so I went there. I couldn't hang too long because earlier in the day, I did suffer a minor neck injury. So, I couldn't stay out too late, and I was walking around like RoboCop. You know, like, I couldn't move my neck too much, so. I called an early night. Now Sunday, I went to the con for the very first time. You know, the last time I went to a comic book convention in the city was Big Apple Comic Con, back when it was just a Comic Con. It was at a church in a basement or something, years ago, and that was pretty much the last time after, you know. The con was fun, you know, walked around, checked stuff out, took lots of photos with various cosplayers. Man, these people really put a lot of effort in their work, and you know, I gotta give props to almost everybody. In their costumes. That's me. I did my lazy casual Gambit t-shirt. I was gonna do Slutty Arrow, but you know, ever since I came back from Puerto Rico, I've been eating like nonstop fast food, and I'm not really feel like showing my abs right now. What else? Yeah, and the con, like I said, one personal big headache from the con is when I got home, and the next day, my boy Bones, who was also there, he was dressed up like Rick or Morty, the old guy. I don't know which is which. He looked at my pass. He goes, "You had a 3-day pass?" And I was like, "Holy shit, I had a 3-day pass. I thought I only had a Sunday pass. So I could have gone all weekend." But nope. My dumbass didn't realize I had a 3-day pass. So what can you do? So let's just get ready to throw on the interview with the people from Barbecue Films, bbqfilms.com. They're really cool people. I cannot emphasize how cool they are. The effort they put into their work. It was really awesome. Right, actually, let me get into the next thing. Earlier in the day, you know, I was at a bar with one of my friends. And she's going to a K-pop concert. And, you know, we're drinking, you know, like, the bar is full of, like, people, obviously, for the show. So they're full of, you know, like, people who are into K-pop. And the bartender's a local from Newark. And he has no idea what's going on. And he's trying to sell us this drink. He calls it Bill Cosby, which is literally everything under the sun. So it's going to get the job done. And I said, don't name it that. Name it after one of the songs from this band that's playing. I think the band's called Bang Bang. So, you know, he decides to call the song Fantastic Baby. Boom. Becomes an instant bestseller. And that guy should have given me more free drinks because, you know, after giving him the name for his drink, boom, like everybody started drinking it. So, you know, he made extra money off the bar. What's weird about, you know, apparently this band, Bang Bang, they were in the Newark Prudential Center for two or three days. I know they were definitely there Saturday and Sunday. And these girls, they came all the way from, like, Ohio. One came from Ohio, one came from Indiana. And they bought VIP tickets for the Sunday show. And they decided, they figured they were going to wait online from 5 a.m. Sunday morning to the concert, whenever it starts, like 7, 8 o'clock. But I'm just like, if you have VIP, you shouldn't have to wait in line. That makes no sense to me. But these fans are very dedicated. And yes, I'll get into this coke. Oh yeah, anyway, so I'm all over the place, you know. You guys know how I roll. So I said, I think it's funny to take a picture with my friend. So I put her in the attitude adjustment position, and she decides to try to reverse it into a DDT, even though it's on the floor. I'm like, I'm not gonna let her take a DDT bump on the floor. So I try to catch her, which ends up putting me in a guillotine choke position, carrying all her weight, which she weighs about 155 at standing in 6'1", and that kind of like gave me a kink in my neck, so it wasn't good times. And you know, so during the con, I was walking around like RoboCop. I couldn't turn my neck much, you know. It's, as I'm recording this now, it's Wednesday night. I'm feeling a little bit better, but could do some healing. So all right, enough of me complaining about my injuries. No one cares. Let's get to this BBQ Films interview. These guys are awesome. There might be some slight audio issues, I'm not sure, but yeah, we go over their history. And, yeah, it's a good time. So, let me just hit that in 3, 2, and 1.
And on the line, we have members from bbqfilms.com. Gabriel, can you guys introduce yourselves?
All right, so this is Gabriel Rhodes. I am the co-founder of BBQ Films. I'm joined here by Lauren and Steven. And introduce yourself, Lauren.
Hi, I'm Lauren Lucas. I'm also the co-founder of BBQ Films.
And I'm Steve Newsom, stunt artist from Belfast. I've been involved with BBQ Films for a couple of years.
Yeah. Actually, the accent is fake. It's actually from Queens.
That was about. Yeah,
no, actually, we're from Queens. Yeah. Steven is legitimately from Belfast.
October 9th. Like, literally, it was literally a physical dream come true.
Yes, did you have a good time? Oh. Tell us about it. We're always hungry to hear about what guests experience, because we're always producing the event. So I'd love to hear a sentence about what your experience was.
Like it was pretty much exactly everything you guys promised. You delivered. You know, I got there. The music was pumping. Had a few beers, and when the time came, you know, the several the blood dispensers. They did their job. I was dancing to a Crystal Method in a bloodbath, and you know, like I seen Blade like 4 or 5 times when it was in a theater. Bought the DVD, bought the Blu-ray. So I'm a huge fan of the movie. So being there live, it was awesome as hell. That's all I can say. It was pure awesomeness.
That makes us, well, as producers, that just makes us overjoyed to hear, because, you know, we're dedicated. We would tell you a story of how we started, but we're dedicated to bring you into that moment in the film. And if we have actually succeeded in putting you inside of the movie in that moment, then we've done our job.
Did it end some.
So what do you want to know from us?
Let's say that again.
So what do you want to know from us? We can tell you all sorts of bizarre tall tales.
One thing I'd like to know, because the way I found out about BBQ Films is kind of a heartbreaking story.
Oh no, what happened?
I heard about your Ninja Turtle party. I was all set to go, and then one of my coworkers called out last minute, and I had to stay at work, and I missed it.
It was
emo tears for a little bit, yeah.
Well, you know what I have for you?
What do you have?
So, Steven, what did you make for the Ninja Turtles party? Do you remember those little cards?
I made the crying. Crying stencils, yeah. Small cards, nice spray painted. So, Steven, that was the last one I've done, actually. It's a couple of years ago.
It's all good.
So Steven got involved on our 27th birthday party, where he actually had done this just amazing portrait of the Patrick Bateman character from the American Psycho movie. And so he's been involved in doing art for us, both attending and doing art, and also sending over his art for a while. But these little Krang cards are just absolutely. I'll send you a couple, and that'll be some small recompense.
Yeah, not being there.
And so, because we'll send you some of Steven's art. That'll be fun. But I'm really sorry that you missed that one. We did a 60-foot skate ramp and 120-feet of graffiti walls, cinema quality turtle costumes, and Rich Usher. Maybe we have a headband. Yeah, we can maybe initiate you into the Foot Clan by sending you a headband because, man, we initiated everybody that night, and then Rich Usher from Partners in Crime came out and remixed Turtle Power with a local Brooklyn DJ, and it was, you know, it's these moments that just, like, that if you can live inside of them, the stories that I don't know how old you are, Diego, since we're on the telephone, but I'm in my mid-30s. These are some of the stories that made us who we are, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I'm also in my mid-30s.
That's good. Well, cheers to that, you know. I'll let the pint to you right now.
What is most of, like, your inspirations? Because, like, I actually went through the list from the press release, and I saw, like, A Weekend at Bernie's Party, and I was just like, oh, where did that come from?
Part of what we do is finding, you know, we have this kind of list of movies in the backs of our heads that we might like to do, and we're always looking at venues that would be, you know, the right location. And somehow I think Gabriel came across the location that we did Bernie's at, which is Playland Motel in Rockaways, which is out, you know, for your listeners out in Long Island, which is where we get at Bernie's kind of happening. And,
okay. I mean, so Diego, how deep do you want me to go? I mean, like, okay, so here's the story, right? So you know, I think in answer to your question, I'll answer the Weekend of Bernie's question, but then I'm going to turn back to Lauren to talk about the inspiration for our Jam of the Sea Dance, because that was one.
Oh, that's another one, yeah.
But to answer your Weekend of Bernie's question, man, you know, we just kick around all of these movies in our heads, and we walk into the space constantly, are doing tours of different spaces here in New York, and actually increasingly outside of New York. We're exploring a couple of places in other cities as well, and like, when you walk into a place, you just kind of ask yourself, what could have happened here? When you walk into a huge office building in New York with these marble columns and a guard with an ugly look on his face, and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ, this could be the opening sequence, or this could be the fight sequence in Matrix, where all of the granite just falls off the walls, all of the, like, bullets are, like, ricocheting all over the place. And you're like, this, we could make that happen in this space, right? And we walked into the Playland Motel, we're like, you know what? This is where Bernie's son would throw his launch party for his internet startup that is just as fraudulent operation as his father's insurance companies. Okay, so bear with me for a second. So Bernie, the idea is Bernie has a son 25 years ago that you don't know about. He's a mischievous guy. He's a friendly guy. You would think, man, this is the guy that, like, you would want to, like, hang out with, right? He has a son you don't know about. You fast forward 20 years. Bernie Jr., BJ Lomax, has an internet startup that is just as fraudulent as Terry Kaiser, Bernie, the original Bernie's insurance company in Weekend at Bernie's. And so we threw Weekend at Bernie Jr.'s, right? Mm-hmm. And we actually threw a startup pitch session right before that with four legitimate companies and then BurnBucks.com, which is BJ Lomax's big company. and we invited people to come to the launch party at BirdBox.com. And look, I'm really sorry to say that Bernie Jr. died that night, actually. People know that, but Bernie Jr. died that night because the mob killed him, because the mob invested in his company. He was embezzling money from the mob, and you know what? He didn't make it out alive, but we all did, and we had a fucking great time. And Terry Kaiser came out and celebrated that night, and we were trying to figure out how to write him into the script because he looks awfully, an awful lot older than he did in the original movie. And so we said, well, you know what? If we did a documentary, a dramatization of Bernie's father's life, and Terry Kaiser played, you know, Bernie's father, and so we're inviting him back as the actor. Bernie's father. If you're lost, if you're just completely confused at this point in the story, so was Terry Kaiser. And that's something, one of the best quotes we've ever gotten in Entertainment Weekly, which was Terry Kaiser saying, "There's so much love, and I have no idea what the fuck is going on." It's actually, that's kind of what barbecue's all about. It's a fan event. We're really trying to recreate these scenes, and sometimes there's confusion, sometimes there's chaos in it. Sometimes when you're in the middle of a blood rave, it doesn't make a lot of sense what the hell is going on. But you're there, and you're in that story that makes you who you are, and we hope that we can give you that moment and you can go home and you look at the pictures on Facebook the next day and you're like, I was just in a movie.
Yeah, it was even a small the little touches. I think you guys had like Blade walk through the crowd and pat a bunch of people on the shoulder. And I was just like, for some reason, I felt like extra immersive. You know, it was like a whole lot of little touches that I think the average club producer would ignore. I feel like you guys seem to have covered all the bases. What was Empire Records, the Rex Manning Day? How was that one?
Well, before I turn to that one, Lauren, I promise to turn to you on just a couple of sentences on, like, why did your heart belong to the Enchantress?
Well, we decided, I decided I wanted to do the anniversary, was coming up, and this 2015 is the year that Back to the Future 2 goes in the DeLorean, and I think
October. It's coming right up.
Yeah, October 21st, 2015. And so I just figured, well, now is the time. We have to do. We don't have cover boards yet, so we have to do.
We were actually promised.
We have to do the event now because there's no way we can do cover boards. So Gabriel had found a high school gym. Built in the year that Back to the Future goes back to.
Really? Wow.
1934, 1955, 1 year report.
So,
almost movie out of here.
You found this gym on the Lower East Side, and some people who were willing to let us throw a high school dance in this gym, and you know, I was never in high school. I was never part of the prom committee or any of that, but the idea of decorating a high school dance now somehow had a lot of appeal, so that's what we decided to do.
Diego, let me tell you, not only did Lauren lead the prom committee, the funny thing about this is it's immersive for our crew as well as it's immersive for our audience, right? And so our crew, we have a crew of about 9 producers, over 200 volunteer staff, right? To just make these things come alive. And people got so in the love of the Enchantment on the Sea Dance that 2 of our producers got engaged at that dance.
Holy crap.
It's really amazing. And that might sound a little community theater to you, but you have to realize that it's we live these movies when we are making them, right? You asked about Rex Manning Day, when we decided into that moment, we walked into that record store, and we're like, this looks exactly like Empire Records. We have to throw that there. And we checked their dates, and lo and behold, Rex Manning Day was free, and boom, we're there on the 20th anniversary of Rex Manning Day. We are in a record store, and Ethan Embry comes out, Dutch Woodward comes out, Warren comes out, and reprises their experience with Ethan Embry, which, and Dave, I'll tell you this, it was really amazing to us, it's immersive for the crew that produces these. It's immersive for the guests that come. But it's also immersive for the artists that are performing. And it turns out that Ethan Embry, he actually took his first Jaeger shot. Couldn't walk when they were filming that crazy scene in Empire Records. And when they were filming that scene where he gets sucked into the beast. I promise you, you can never not tell that story on This Is Happening. So Diego, you're getting an exclusive here. It's like they brought out that original prop and they dragged Ethan from that prop back into reality. He stands on stage and he says, "I've been stuck in that fucking worm for 20 fucking years." The crowd goes wild. Afterwards, you talked to Ethan, and he gave me the biggest hug. I can't even tell you. He was like, his dreams came true that night, right? And if we can make the guests' dreams come true, if we can make the original talent's dreams come true with these, we've really made our own dreams come true with this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's definitely adding a whole new level. Like I said, it's making the fans have a good time is one thing, but a lot of impressed the actual people who have lived it originally, and then make them live.
Yeah. And that's just the thing, I tell this story from that time where I talk about this movie that Lauren and I watched, Side by Side. It's a I would encourage you to watch it. It's fantastic. It's Keanu Reeves and Martin Scorsese get together and talk about, digital versus film, right? It's sort of this debate has been done a lot, but what they do to do this is they interview cinematographers.
Well, they interviewed a lot of people in the world that don't necessarily get the spot.
Exactly.
When you talk about directors, you talk about actors. But we don't necessarily talk about the person that does the color correcting in film.
Exactly. And so it's like we have these big, amateurs.
I think it's people who have a love of film and do the kind of unsung roles to make those films what they are.
Exactly. And this one interview, this one cinematographer. He's talking about cinema in the 21st century. He says, I'm paraphrasing for here. He says, cinema is the church of our generation. We go to the movies to learn how to be a man, to learn how to be a woman, to learn how to take care of a woman, to learn how to take care of a man, to learn how to be a hero, to learn how to be a villain, right?
Right.
These stories are who we are. Han Solo is dubiously good, right?
Right.
Luke Skywalker is just good, right? Liv Tyler is conflicted but sexy. That Rex Manning is a complicated character that has its own ego, right? You know that Deacon Frost is a promoter, and he's an asshole, and he's a vampire, but he's trying to break from the like shackles of all of the like houses that have lived before him and the elders. He is trying to make his own vampire world, right?
Right.
And you live in that bloodbath because you live in making sure that you have your own youth culture, even if it's a 300-year-old youth culture in vampire lore. You have your own youth. Like, that's a beautiful thing, right? And you see that. You see that bloodbath, and you see that, like, in the pop panel remix, Confusion, and you're like, that is freedom, right? That is living freedom, and that is breaking from, I mean, it's almost like the American Revolution from Britain. I mean, it's like it's ridiculous, right? It is breaking from tradition and making something your own, and that I think is what we gave people last Friday
night. Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, actually, it's funny. You just mentioned Deacon Frost, Stephen Dorff. I actually just remembered a story with him. I used to work at the door. Actually, I used to go to that venue, Terminal 5, back in the day when it was called Exit. But I used to work at his number.
You went back in the day, like pre-2002?
Yeah.
You worked at the like, federal government?
Yeah.
Damn. That's impressive. That's legit.
And what I was thinking about when I worked at a mansion, which is a couple like about 20 blocks away, Stephen Dorff came to try to come to the venue, but it was a private event, and it was sadly my job to turn him away, and I was very conflicted that day because I kept trying to talk to my manager. I'm like, you know, I was like, hey, this guy was in Blade, let him through, and she was not having it. And so I was like, sorry, dude, we can't let you in. And that was a rough day. To me personally, that was like a very rough, conflicting day.
Yeah.
I would be deeply conflicted, and like, you know what? It's too bad we couldn't have reversed that for you. We'll call up Stephen Dorff and see if you can reverse that situation for you.
I mean, I think that's part of what makes what we do so compelling to us, at least, hopefully to the audience, is that we all have these kind of personal relationships with the movies that we choose, or whatever movies, you know, you care about. You know, you have these personal relationships, and sometimes it's really hard to communicate with other people, like what Deacon Frost means, or what you know, the Enchantment Under the Sea Dance means to you. But
they don't kiss.
Yeah, they don't kiss. They don't.
They don't kiss.
And we get the kind of privilege of pulling together a community of people that do understand that moment, do understand like what that means. Stephen Dorff is Deacon Frost. Like we respect that and as a community, we come together and we revel in that. That's a fantastic privilege to be able to pull that together and have people enjoy that moment.
It literally is a moment, to me personally, like a moment trapped in time. Like I have, like, you know, working where I've worked, I kind of like been through a lot. And I forget things, but this is definitely not one thing I'm not gonna forget. It's literally like a moment trapped in time.
Good. We enjoy making memorable moments.
Yeah, and moments kind of from your memory, but brought into a new space, right? I mean, so like I told you a convoluted story about how Weekend at Bernie's became Weekend at Bernie Juniors, but on Friday night, like, I mean, Stephen was there, like, with his, and I'll tell the story of what it felt like for you, just, so for the listeners, here's a big reveal for this is happening, too. A lot of the press has reported that blood descended from the ceiling of Terminal 5, but but we actually had a blood dispersal unit that was blood across the entire floor as if it was dropping from the ceiling. And so we're trying to get that illusion and see with one of them, and like, you were there standing. There's this great picture in Paper Magazine. The Paper Magazine of Steven just like looking at the sky, like being like prepared to start shooting, man.
At that moment, there was so much going on. There was so much, you know, the thing I love about Barbie films is you'll end up doing the most bizarre, unusual jobs you'll ever do in your life. Whereas I just arrived in Belfast, I come to Belfast, I arrived in New York the day before, I had spent the day before at Comic-Con with a Blade lookalike and my flyers, and then I was, you know, getting stuff ready for the show, and then we were, you know, crazy day on Friday, getting ready for the show, and then I was somewhere up with the, as they're now known, Blood Dispersal Unit, which is a great title to have,
BDU,
and we were standing there, like, you know, it was like four or five guys, we were pouring, and it must be like nearly 200 liters of water and blood into 17 pesticide sprayers, that were backpack minded, and it was like a really unusual moment in your life where you're like,
this is happening.
How have I gone an all day to, you know, be a sense artist, to get involved in bargain dogs, and I sit and fill in backpacks with fake blood that I'm going to spray on 1,000 people who want that to happen. So it's a really unusual moment. So then when it came to the time we knew we were, you know, going to be, you know, showtime, because the method just started, really exciting, going into like this crazy room full of people who look like vampires, very scantily clad people as well. It was just a bizarre situation. But I felt an unbelievable amount of pressure. Because people had really, like, obviously that many people had arrived to experience this. So, you know, if something went wrong, you know, we were the ones in charge of that. We were the ones, we had the blood, we were the ones
with the line.
We were the front line. We were, you know, Chris Metz are great, yeah, but we were the ones, we were going to the left.
We were the ones looking at the field if you
move forward. If this didn't work, it was on us. So, I only saw the movie today. It was just really bizarre. Everyone was having the best time of their life. I got to see it from, you know, I was at the front of that stage, seeing people having the best night of their life. A life changing. But then it struck me, I was like, this is so much pressure, this doesn't work. It's my fault. Like, that's how I felt. So I was like,
there's everything you're gonna, like, kill. There's like a thousand people gonna rush at you and
there was like nice and angry looking people who really look like vampires. I was front and center for this as well, which was really, really fortunate to be part of. But no, you know, like, it was unbelievable. Like, I said to Gabe, I said to Lauren, I said to all the crew, like, I got to see people leaving that night, and it looked like their lives had changed for the better. They got to be part of that film that they love. And that's always what I've known about Barbie films. That's what they do to people. That film you really enjoy watching, you watch 10 different times. They actually got to be part of that film. And that was a really special moment. So, like, all the stress, getting it organized, and getting the blood filled, and having the whatever, but that makes it work. So, Diego, let me just cap this story off with a really just funny observation that, so what Steven just shared, like, everything that we do is for the love of the movies, and it's for the authenticity to the movies, and the authenticity of fan love to the movies, right?
Right.
And so the really interesting thing is this is the first horror movie that we've done, and it was kind of terrifying, right? Because it's 1,000 people, and you're going to shower them with blood, it's really intense, but like, interestingly enough, and you're getting the benefit of us being a couple of days out from the event, having looked at all the photos, the footage, everything, a couple of bizarre observations. One, everybody was with the love of this movie in the event. And so all of the social media feedback, all of the press feedback has been with love for Blade and love for the event and not with the horror, right? And so it's almost as if through the enchantment of the sea dance and bathed in blood, right? It's like it is all about the love of this event. Number two, as soon as people are doused in blood, they start making out like rabbits.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah,
right?
I saw that.
And like people went absolutely nuts. And like we brought them to this crescendo. And the thing that I like, I love to think that some baby is going to be conceived tonight, right? That night, that Friday night, and you're like, it's going to be the most difficult thing for a couple of parents to explain.
Generation of blame, baby.
So you're like, so when was I conceived? Well,
I had a blood bath.
You said, absolutely.
Yeah, but like, yeah, from now on, whenever I will watch that movie again, like I said, one more time, like, it's gonna, like, the opening scene is gonna have, like, a brand new meaning to me personally, so.
That's awesome.
So I'm gonna thank you guys for that, and I think on that happy note, let me just finish with one story about my, I've been sitting on this for the entire podcast series. The one time that I accidentally hung out with Wesley Snipes, and, He delivered the greatest pickup line I've ever heard in my life, and that I wish one day I could deliver this pickup line with such confidence. Long story short, me and my friends were in Las Vegas. The entire trip, I'm kind of dressed like a bum. My friends are dressed up to the T. This one night, we decided to go to the Palms. They decided to dress up like bums. I decided to finally dress up like, hey, let me like dress up like I care. When we get to the Palms, there's only four people in line ahead of us. This couple that just got married, and the best man and the maid of honor. And they're dressed up. So I start talking to them. My friends are being antisocial. Big bouncer comes out. He's like, hey, all right, party of four. The best man goes, nah, party of five. Okay, they let me go in with them. My friends were shown the door, and they weren't allowed in. It turns out it was a Kiss after party. At the I think it's called the Ghost Bar or Ghost in the Rain or Desert in the Rain. I don't even know. It's the Palm in Vegas. So it turns out that the best man was like, he somehow worked with Wesley. He was either his agent or his accountant or something. I hope not the accountant because of all the trouble. But but he's some, anyway. So you know, he introduces me. Wesley only remembers from where I came from. He's like, oh, New Jersey. So he starts talking, dancing with a girl, and he's like, hey, girl, do you know how to dance? And she's like, yeah. He's like, no, you don't. I'm going to teach you. So they start dancing. Then Wesley goes, dancing is a lot like making love. Do you know how to make love? And she's like, yeah. He's like, no, I'm going to teach you. So, yeah, I think we're going to end on that note.
Everybody... Yeah, Diego, that's beautiful note to end on. Yeah.
I should have used that line on Friday. I think Friday would have been the perfect opportunity to use it.
That would have happened. You should have used that line on Friday. I've got a guy sending me GoPro footage from the rave, and he's like, I gotta cut some of this out for this tournament. I'm making out with some lady. So yes, you should have used that line on Friday. We'll have to throw this event again for you, man.
Just for that, and then so I can make a blood baby.
Nice. You're amazing, man. You're amazing.
All right, so yeah, we'll raise the Magra some other time. One more time, cheap plugs. For future events, follow them on every social network platform possible. BBQ Films, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, whatever's available.
We'll start it right now. We're on it, man, but it's just great to be able to host you, and thanks so much for this.
All right, thank you, and we're going to break.